This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Flick Fusion.
I can't either, Dave.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Okay.
All right, so I still can't hear me.
I can hear us.
I can hear everybody else.
I can't hear
oh,
Dave Villa.
There's that echo.
There I am,
and
baby.
There I am.
What an intro.
There we go.
Come on.
That's right. So here we are, man. Show three in May, the OGs of Automotive Podcast. Woo! We're here. We've been lighting it up with some amazing guests, and today is no different, guys. I'm here with Chris Fritcher, Joe Calla, and David Cribbs. What's up, guys? Joe Calla, let's go to you and Cribbs first, man. How are you guys doing today over there?
Doing good. Feeling good.
Mm. I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic.
I just
came from the beach, so, you know, how can it be better?
Any better than that.
Mm. That's good stuff. How about you, Chris? Lord. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I didn't come from the beach, but I'm doing good.
Is that what's showing up there? All the angles at one time? That's pretty cool. Is that actually possible? All of them can show?
I have to tell you, it's really messing me up because I don't know if the camera's on us or not.
It's definitely on us one way or the other if all of them are showing.
Right, but I mean, I don't know which. Okay, now
well,
I know.
What was showing the other time?
Now I see.
Just curious.
Well, this is the quad view
that's what they see right now?
No. Quad view.
No.
So they can't see that.
That's what we need
that
to
see. That would be pretty cool, though, if they could.
That would be cool. Can you
just
can
for
you,
a second, that'd be kind of cool.
Put the quad view up, man.
Show them what it's about.
That might be kind of cool to do.
Can you make it happen? I mean...
Hey, speaking of make it happen, man, you know, we have managed to pull off an incredible panel today of guests. I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to show three here. Cribbs, you know, we've got Jason Gerdner, the CEO of Tecobi, on today. We have Bobby Heron, president of the Bees Needs Agency. Mm. We have Mark Stringfellow, vice president of sales at the Next Up. We have Sean Hayes, your car guy at Dan Cummings Chevrolet. And we have Mike Carrera, Mike the Car Guy, National Account Manager at Dealer Built. So we've got a great show of with a variety of guests that's, in my opinion, probably there's no way for it to disappoint.
We've got an incredible guest line today.
Well, this is the cool thing is that all of these folks have not only been on the show before, but many of them go back through our history many years, which was the whole intent here of the 7-year anniversary month. So, mm-hmm. So kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so, I mean,
the topics are really endless as well. We're going to get into some branding talk. We're going to get into some technology talk. We're going to get into some
up system talk. We're going to get into automotive talk here. I'm excited. Chris, man, what do you think so far of the shows? We've had, we've really had some great guests on. The audience has been great. The giveaways have been great. What do you think?
I think the last couple of shows have been really full of really good content, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, the kind of content that someone can listen to and actually take it and implement it in their store. So I think those are the best shows. When we're able to give someone stuff that they can actually implement in their stores, I think that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the, you know, to me, that's the key. It's always been the mantra of the show, right? It's been hopefully less about us and more about those that we bring on. And, you know, our goal all the way through the 7 years from the very beginning to now has been, what can our listeners take away and apply today? You know, can this be training? Can this be, you know, Joe, you're a trainer, you know, and I know you were introduced, you know, to me and us together originally through Auto Dealer Live and then, mm-hmm. you know, through some Facebook groups and then in person. But, you know, looking at it from a training perspective, I mean, really isn't really what's offered on a weekly basis through an outlet like this with the guests, the caliber of guests that we have, isn't it a form of training?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
This definitely is. I mean, me and Chris were having a conversation last week just about some of the things we were talking about on mm-hmm. a few of these episodes about training towards, you know, marketing and different things that we can speak to dealers and help them with mm-hmm. that we learned and we picked up off of the show.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, this is all day training.
Yeah, I say, you know, our listeners and our viewers should be able to, at the end of a show, should be able to go back and blame our guests on more business.
Mm. Mm. Say that again, man.
They should That's be able good. To look back at the end of a show and blame our guests for more business. It's just our job to pull that out of the guests, but the guests deliver that every week. So if you're watching, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking about. If you follow Auto Dealer Live, you've been able to blame business on our guests, which is amazing.
That's yeah. Right. And speaking of guests, you know, or speaking of blame, speaking of whatever, let's blame it on the gifts, man. Let's give some stuff away.
Give it away.
Right away here. Right away. So, I mean, I don't mean give it away yet, Lou. I know the bowl's not here. So they're bringing the bowl over. But let's do this. Share the show. Let's talk about what we're going to give away today. We're going to give away 14 gifts. We've been doing this every week. And if you guys have one of the shirts over there, Lou, pan over to Cribs. I'm gonna read the gifts off, guys, and talk about what we're gonna give away, and maybe they can go ahead and display them. The guy in the background there holding his shirt up, washing our cars behind me. All right, so we got three OGs of automotive podcasts. Three of these shirts. Joe, stand up there, man. Oh, you are.
He is.
I beat you to it. So Joe Calla is wearing one. All right, we're going to give away three of these shirts today. These are in limited editions.
Limited editions, baby.
They will all be gone. The last show of May, they will all be gone.
No reorders.
There are no reorders. And so if you'd like one, share the show. We'll be giving three of those away today. And Joe, if you're holding up our Cribs, guys, hold up the posters. These are foam board posters autographed by us. These are we're going to have seven of those away today. And these are just cool, man, as you know, automotive, you know, some automotive branding, something to, you know, display. And then we've got
all signed, by the way.
All signed, oh, yes. That, which makes them worth a little less, but they're still nice.
Exactly.
The value
especially
of the phone.
The first signature from the left is the one that really brings down the value.
Yes. True. All right. So then we're going to Lisa Copeland. We want to thank Lisa Copeland, CEO of Cars Her Way. She has donated to give away three of her hats. And so today we're going to give away hat number two, and that's one of the Cars Her Way hats. And then we give away two books by Jeff Cowan. We've got Right Service and Write Your Own Paycheck, which is an incredible book. This is the leading fixed ops trainer in the nation currently. And then we've got a second book, pan over to them, Lou. They've got it over there. What book is that, Cribs?
What I've Learned from Attending Over 35 Indy 500s. Lessons in Sales Motivation, Leadership Management, and Life in General.
And then speaking of that same topic.
Yeah, you've got a free subscription. Jeff Cowan has donated a subscription on Lightspeed training platform for a lucky winner today. That's probably the big grand prize.
That's awesome, man. That's incredible stuff. That's great stuff. Yeah, it's good stuff, Cribs.
Yeah, and you know, today, I mean, it's obviously Thursday, 3:30. Mm-hmm. I don't know about where you're at. In Florida, it is beautiful. I just came from the beach. Mm-hmm. So amazing weekend to get out there and move some cars, Dave. I mean, in a huge way.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a huge weekend. And, you know, well, I mean, you know what? Weekends are big in the car business. Always, and this will be one that I think is no different. And you know, not to change the subject, but you know, I know that a lot of concerts in Tampa last week. Elton John. I actually went to a Hillsong concert with my family. It was incredible. About 6,000-7,000 people in attendance there. And then Jonas Brothers are getting back together, man.
They are back together, and they are probably the hottest ticket in the country right now. And they're coming in here in Tampa in August, I believe. My daughter's already after me, so I know I'm like trying to save money, I guess, because it's gonna be. Not only a tough ticket, but an expensive
I think it's sold out, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to have to buy it on the street, apparently.
Hot tickets.
It's going to be a hot ticket.
Yeah. It's probably for the better, man. You know, it's sold out anyway. To be honest, if you go to one of those events, I mean, you get in, right? To get in the door, it costs you. And then you got the food, man. You got the parking, et cetera. You know, but I'll tell you, one ticket.
$40 for a hot dog, by the way.
Oh, my God, man. Dude, something you grill on Memorial Day, right? And you know, it's $40. And you're happy about it in some capacity.
Right.
But a ticket, I'll tell you, man, that's hard to get, right? It's hard to get, but it doesn't cost you. Matter of fact, it makes you money.
Oh, okay. Tell me about a ticket that's going to make me money,
please. Come on, man. I'm talking about a ticket to see Jeff Cowan live at one of his upcoming workshops. The man is the nation's leader in automotive service advisor training and service employees in general. And that's the ticket, brother. That's the ticket.
Okay, well, how does it not cost me money but make me money?
Ah, good. You caught that, huh?
Yeah, I did.
All right, well, there's a small fee to go. All right, you're talking $8.99 a person. But here's the deal. What Jeff will show you is how to increase sales, how to get perfect survey scores, an effective labor rate that's within 90 to 95% of your door rate, how to get your customer retention above 80% within 12 months. And listen, here's the thing. The average person that goes and actually uses what, and that's the key, right? In training, anytime you have to use it. But if someone actually uses what Jeff teaches, they typically get an immediate 5/10 increase in customer paid labor sales. And listen, based on the average advisor, that's an annual increase of over $150,000 in sales per advisor. And that's before, Not after. That's before you add in part sales. That, my friend, is a ton of extra sales.
That's crazy, because now you're talking about not just what they're making, but you're talking about an increase of 150 grand. And if I take average of, if I just do some quick math, an average of 150 grand, figure the average store has four advisors, you're talking about 600 grand increase. And if that doesn't include parts, then now you're talking about $1.2 million increase per rooftop on just four service advisor. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, where do you go? You can sign up to go to one of Jeff's workshops or have Jeff Callen visit and do a private workshop for you and your group. The info is going to be up here on the screen in just a second. And it's going to be up on screen and you'll be able to go and click to it. So listen, what a great show we have in store. Guys, I'm excited about our panel. They are locked and loaded. And Chris, man, why don't you just tell us a little bit, tell our listeners before we go to a quick break, why they should share this show and who's going to be on next.
Okay. So the reason you should share this show is, first of all, we're giving away stuff, a ton of stuff. We're giving away shirts, books, a one-year subscription for training. Come on, man.
That's going to make you some money.
I mean, that right there needs to make you share the show a couple of times, right? At least.
Absolutely.
I mean, because we're talking about training. It literally pays you. You're not paying anything for this training. It will pay you.
And you just you can log in anytime throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yours.
Yeah. So you've already went over the guests. We got a loaded, jam-packed show today. Share the show. Sit back, relax. Grab a pen, some paper. Take some notes. Let's get this thing rolling.
All right, the next up when we come back is Jason Gerdner, Bobby Heron, Mark Stringfellow, Sean Hayes, and Mike Carrera. You don't want to go anywhere. We'll see you back in 60 seconds. Be done after you form some type of relationship. One call closes are few and far between. Look, they're going to happen. And if you're on your A game and you're swinging enough, you're going to hit a home run. But if the baseball players that were that have been great.
Because at the desk, I always ask questions. Do they drive the car? Are all the decision makers present? These people have time to do business? Are they putting you under time pressure?
When they do them because they want to and not just because they have to, now you're on the way to a healthy culture and environment within your workplace.
Approximately 70% of all automotive shoppers are more likely to purchase after viewing a dealership video. And though many dealerships are utilizing effective video strategies to drive shoppers to their website, very few automotive websites provide the exact video content that today's shopper desires the most. FlickFusion makes it easy for you to start and scale an affordable video marketing strategy, including end-to-end video content and distribution automation that provides your automotive shoppers with unique and engaging video content that is proven to increase all of your lower funnel KPIs. And the best part is that all of your video content is hosted on FlickFusion's award-winning SmartFlix video marketing platform to combine each individual shopper's unique shopping behavior across multiple touchpoints with CRM, DMS, and other sales and marketing data triggers to enhance each unique shopper's experience and provide the most informational and relevant video presentation possible for each shopper. It's intelligent video for intelligent dealerships.
Hey, welcome back. You're watching Auto Dealer Live, and we're in our 7-year anniversary month. We're giving away all kinds of stuff, and all you have to do is share the show. We'll be giving away that here in a few minutes. Lots of limited edition swag, so make sure you share the show. So welcome back. We have our amazing panel coming on today. We've got Jason Gerdner, CEO at Tacobi. We've got Bobby Heron, president of Bee's Knees Agency. We've got Mark Stringfellow, Vice President of Sales at the Next Up. We've got Sean Hayes, your car guy at Dan Cummins Chevrolet Buick, and Mike Carrera, Mike the Car Guy, National Account Manager at Dealer Built. So without any delay, I'm going to jump right into the questions. I'm going to go to Sean Hayes, who's our next up. Sean Hayes. You know, Sean, we got into this topic a couple of weeks ago very lightly, and I wanted to kind of dive back in because I think it is so cool what's happening in the auto business. You're a shining example, whether it was your intent or not. But we started talking about the value of an individual person and their branding and how they're able to negotiate deals with dealerships, dealers that are looking for and maybe want to even engage in a particular higher type of pay plan for a particular person that they're discovering out there, just like talent scouts in sports. So, Sean, maybe speak to that for a moment. Tell us what your thoughts are. Is that where we're headed in this business?
Well, I think it's like anybody that's talented or has something to offer. I feel like this business or any business, you use what you have as leverage. And a few of us have gone into new dealerships and have used our leverage to get better pay plans, more time off, as well as signing bonuses. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you have enough to give and you have enough value to give that dealership, the money that I'm going to make them back or somebody else is going to make them back will be pretty quick. So as long as you can sell that to the owner and to the dealer principal, it hasn't been a problem for me. Bill Hab did it too. There's a few of us that have done it.
Sure. You know, yeah. It's funny, actually, Sean, I was in St. Augustine yesterday and I drove past a Toyota store that I used to work at and a Hyundai store I used to work at. And the only reason why I knew about those stores is because of you and your branding. So it worked.
Actually, when I left that Hyundai dealership and I went across the street to Beaver Toyota, it was hard for me to do that because I had invested so much into the Hyundai brand and at that dealership. But I felt like I'd hit a wall that I wasn't going to go any further. I was going up and they weren't moving with me. So I went across the street to Beaver Toyota. They recruited me and they gave me a $15,000 signing bonus to join the team.
That's great.
That's good stuff. We have a caller I want to recognize really quick. We have a general manager, executive general manager of Furman Chevrolet, a good friend of mine and Joe's and Brad Wise. And I want to recognize you as a caller. First of all, Brad, I know you're extremely busy, but thanks for calling in. And actually, perfect question just to kind of pop to you before we really get into the panel. Cribs asked, you heard the question you were on, but he asked Sean about, you know, something we kind of touched on a couple weeks ago and got into at the end of the show, and it kind of caught fire. You know, if salesmen have, or salespeople, professionals have followers and, you know, social media presence and, you know, and they have clout with regards to, you know, a base of individuals, you know, what, from a GM's perspective, someone that's looking for talent, what's your opinion on that? Does that mean more to you? Is that worth more to you? Are you of the persuasion, Brad, that you would negotiate and sit down and pay more for something like that?
Well, I think you have to. I mean, if you look at the best salespeople that are out there that are selling the most amount of units per month, they have a big social presence. I'm not sure there's any of them out there that are selling, you know, 80, 60, 100 units a month that haven't. You know, you look at, I think it was Frank Criniti that uses Facebook as his CRM. He doesn't even use a CRM. You know, things such as adding every prospect sold and unsold into your own social media CRM, Facebook, where birthdays and anniversaries come up and you can post content that's auto-related, non-auto-related to be relevant in front of those people all the time. I mean, it's just it's not even the new frontier. I think it's a necessity. And if you're not doing it, right now it's free. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, someday it may not be free. It's just an area that if you're not doing it now, you're pretty much left behind. So, you know, if I'm interviewing a salesperson and I see that they're that engaged in their job by, you know, branding themselves that way, it certainly scores points with me.
You know, I think it's actually more valuable right now too than it has been ever before. For the simple reason is Facebook has changed the way they allow you to get organic traffic through Facebook. And so, like, the business pages, if you've looked over the last, you know, 6 years, you'll notice a dramatic decrease in how much traffic you've gotten from your business pages. So now with salespeople, if they're very active and they have their own following, I would say they're actually more important today than they've been in the last 10 years from a social branding aspect?
Yeah, what's interesting is, you know, I think dealers are really just now beginning to embrace this. Dealers like Brad, and I don't know how long Brad's been on sort of the positive side of this. I have no idea, but I think about guys like Mike the car guy, and I'll bring you into the conversation, Mike. And I know that, you know, years ago you began branding yourself at a Ford store, at a Ford store, as Mike the car guy. Man, I'm really stumbling here, Mike the car guy. But at that time, did you feel like your dealer really appreciated that, or maybe did they have a view of it was not, there was some uncertainty, like maybe it was a distraction from what you were doing there at the store?
Oh, totally. There were times when it created a conflict between myself and the general manager, because he just didn't get what I was doing for the store. He thought it was benefiting just me, but he was missing the bigger picture. In fact, the way Mike the car guy came about was, like Sean said earlier, I had invested so much of myself in prior dealerships as, you know, Mike the Honda guy, Mike the Toyota guy. Every dealership I went to, I was the Dodge boy for quite a while at a Dodge store. I'd get to another store and I'd realize that I'd lost a lot of that following and a lot of that momentum that I'd built. So going through some career coaching with a lady by the name of Renee Stewart, who I owe everything to, she helped me come up with Mike the car guy. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the last Ford dealership that I was at, it really, that 3 years was hugely successful for the dealership. The traffic that we were getting organically from my exposure online and the business that we were getting, it was unmistakable. And I constantly had to justify it month after month by showing how many deals I was able to generate with, you know, my additional presence that weren't costing him anything out of his advertising budget. And these days, salespeople really are taking the horn and running with it themselves, because they realize that their GMs and their sales managers may not always get it. So rather than try to convince them, they're just going out and doing it. I mean, look at the success of people like Elise Kephart. Back 10 years ago, I was watching her walk around videos and her Honda videos when she was up at San Luis Obispo Honda, and look at her now. I mean, she's parlayed that into an entire career. Smart salespeople are building their careers in sales by exposing themselves digitally and increasing their social brand.
Let's go to thank you, Mike. And let's go to Bobby. We'll let you weigh in on this as well, and come in at any place you want, Bobby, and just give your insight on
this. Thank you. Well, I want to make sure you guys can hear me. Okay, I'm having some Wi-Fi issues, so hopefully we're good there.
Yep, we can hear you.
One of the most important things I think that happened with the branding the way it is and the discussion we're having that we forget about is the amount of networking and the amount of training that's brought to the table by somebody who has a collaborative network, especially in a dealership where training isn't happening. We're not sending people to conferences. We're not bringing in consultants. If you're coming in with a social brand and you know these people in the industry, you're going to just call them and say, hey, what's a better way for me to prospect? What's a better way for me to handle the situation? Hey, what would you do? That networking, that collaboration is priceless. Because I look at where I'm at today, and I didn't get there because my dealership sent me to where I needed to go. I got there because I built relationships that I still call on, that I still can ask questions on, and I'm watching everybody else do the same thing. So when you hire somebody who has a social brand or has an influencing brand, you're not just hiring them. You're hiring their entire network, and you're getting it all for one skill set that's being brought in. And I think that is a huge element that's missed.
That's good.
Great point.
It's great point.
I agree.
I think we have another caller now. Patrick O'Brien's on the phone. Patrick, welcome to the show. We have a caller, Patrick O'Brien. How are you, sir?
Oh, guys, I'm doing well, man. I'm enjoying a day off, but I saw this show and I went, wow, this panel is literally some of the very best people in automotive that have done a great job branding themselves and their companies, right? And I look at this and I go, you know, touch on what Bobby just said. Like, when you hire somebody or you bring somebody on board, you're bringing on their entire network when they have that kind of following, that kind of influence inside of the network that they have on their own. And it's one of those things to where even me now, like, you know, I look at people I hire and I say, you know, what is your network? What is your following? Who can you bring to the table with you to complement your skill set that you're coming here on board to have? So, you know, I'm excited to hear, like, you know, even what Jason Gardner has to say. One of his best things that he's done has branded himself and branded his company the way that, you know, he wants to bring people into him, you know? So I'm excited to hear it. I heard somebody else even mentioned, Elise. Elise is probably one of the very best personal branding people we've ever seen in this business in, you know, the two decades or whatever that we've all been kicking around.
Yeah. I'd say not probably. She is the very best.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? What's interesting, Patrick, about what you said?
Bobby, you're not too bad at it yourself. Yeah, don't cut yourself short. You might be the best too.
Thank you. And Patrick, what's interesting about what you said that I caught on to was that, you know, when we think about it, when someone is sitting in front of you that you're thinking about hiring, you're not just hiring that one person. You're actually hiring their entire audience as well. We'll talk to Mark Stringfellow in just a moment Is he trying to jump back in?
Yeah,
okay, we'll go to Jason in just a moment, but I wanted to give something away real quick. Can we do that?
Yeah. While you're doing that, I just want to ask one question to Sean. Maybe he can even think of the answer while we're giving away. Sean, okay, this is something that just popped in my head here, man. I'm not sure if you've been asked this question or not, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, you're a branding expert. You branded yourself. Obviously, we've all seen it. We've all watched you, you know, go from where you were to where you are. And I think that, you know, obviously, as a talented individual, that's what's kept you there. But what got you there, got you noticed, is your branding ability. So as a manager now, as somebody who's responsible for, you know, for leading other people or maybe even hiring other people, what do you look for? Are there, and I hate to use the word, you know, you probably remember this word poser. Are there posers out there? Are there people that come to you that have like the outer look of it, but that you're looking for something that might expose the real them? Or in other words, what do you look at, you know, to hire when it comes to somebody who's got what seemingly is the goods? I mean, if you can maybe give it some insight to those who have the responsibility of interviewing. I don't know if that's a good question or not, but you know,
it's a great question.
Sure. Well, I would say the number one thing I look for is that somebody that's going to have the drive to do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's not easy. And all these people on here can tell you there's a lot of work in branding yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of work. So I look at it as they have to understand that it's not overnight. It doesn't happen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Getting a lot of feedback. Okay.
I was there.
You got to understand. You got to understand that it's not easy. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to put the hard work in. Do you have what it takes to put the hard work in? Because I know you believe that you're going to go outside and do one video and everybody's going to beat down the door to come in and buy cars from you, but it doesn't happen like that. And you're going to have to be consistent and diligent. Do you have it in you? And that's what I find out right from the start, if they have it in them. And I don't force people here to even do it. Because I really believe if you force people to do it and they don't have the desire, they're not going to do it well, and they're not going to really put in the effort the way that I did or some of these people on the panel. So I make sure that now, if you have an interest and I can probably flame the fire and show you the right way to do it, I just look for the desire and the work ethic. Really, it's no different than if I'm going to hire them on the floor without social media. I just really, really, if you want to take it to the next level, you're going to have to put in work that you've never thought about. I've literally burnt the candle at both ends for 2 years doing this. So, you know, it's hard.
That's good. Thank you, Sean. And did
all right. Let's give away something.
Go ahead, man.
And I'm itching to give away some stuff.
Come on.
We have too much stuff to give away. Let's give away some posters, some original OG posters signed by each of the hosts of the show. And it goes out to Douglas Chitrin.
Douglas. That guy's like, he needs to play the lottery, bro.
He wins again every week.
The guy's like they say if you drop a cat,
right?
It lands on his feet. If you drop buttered toast, it lands like on the non-buttered side. So if you like glued a piece of buttered toast to the back of a cat and dropped it, what would happen, right?
Exactly.
That was pretty sick. But anyway, okay. Go ahead. So he's like a lucky guy.
Yeah, so he got a poster. We're going to give away a shirt. Let's give away a shirt, and we'll get back to our guest real quick.
Go ahead.
So the next one is Jason Hastings. Jason Hastings.
Awesome.
You are a winner of an OG shirt.
Come on, Jason. And Brad Wise, let me ask you one other question before you jump off real quick.
Ahead.
Because if you're still on with us. Jim Fitzpatrick asked a question I think is fitting for you. He said, do you think dealers are uncomfortable and intimidated with salespeople that brand themselves?
The biggest drawback, I think the limiting belief that a lot of dealers have is the fear of what if they leave and they have all this information or they have the logo of the dealership on it, so on and so forth. I think it's a valid point to at least research the compliance or legalities of what could possibly go wrong in a situation if a separation happens in a bad way, what kind of damage that person could do to the dealer. But I would tell the dealer, you know, how much damage is being done at your store by not following up on leaks. I mean, there's a lot more leaks in your dealership than worrying about a salesperson that's trying to better themselves and promote the brand and possibly leaving with information or posting something negative. I mean, when I look at my board, my to-do list of things that I'm my one big thing that I'm focused on, I think that is just small potatoes compared to other opportunities that would be that a dealer or an organization would be better suited focusing their attention on before they worry about a salesperson possibly leaving and using their logo and so forth. I think people get caught up in being too protective or too conservative. You know, it goes back to the old saying of, you know, don't let the salespeople read automotive news. You want to keep them dumb or that, just that attitude sometimes carries over that we think we know best, and you don't want to bring salespeople into the conversation about anything they do. If you're in a store that where the dealer doesn't want anybody posting anything on about the store, you know, first of all, you have to educate yourself on the downside of it from the dealer's perspective so you can effectively have an intelligent conversation with the dealer about doing it, and that's what I would recommend. I'm sure there's dealers out there that don't promote it or don't believe in it, but now I think that's becoming less and less. I don't know, maybe it's a question that you've already talked about.
Yeah, thanks so much,
Rather
Brad.
Rather than be afraid, why not focus on a culture of, you know, positivity where the salespeople don't want to leave. They want to stay there.
Thank
they want
you.
To promote the store socially.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's...
From fear to promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's the fear of the unknown, right? It's
yeah.
The fear of the unknown. It's the vulnerability and the weakness of not understanding it and raising your hand to say, you know, hey, I don't get that. That means they could leave us. I don't want them to be too popular and know this. And it's because people at the desk or people running a store aren't always as active on social where they understand what they're getting from it. It's fear.
I think more than the fear of the unknown.
You're right about that, Bobby, but if they take a look at people like Mike Davenport, Mike's been there for how long, right? Mm-hmm. He ain't gone anywhere. He's happy where he is. He gets treated well. He brings people into the dealership. He sells cars. Same thing with what I was doing. If
yeah.
we quit worrying about people leaving and we just, like, support them and give them, you know, and make them happy, mm-hmm. you know, then they won't leave.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so, you know what, guys?
A lot of times, principals, what they do is they
focus too much on the negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't focus on the positivity of it. Somebody bringing in their own customer that you didn't have to pay for to market to
right.
is one of the most
Thank
valuable
you.
Customers we'll ever have. Period.
Well, but you don't know that when you don't know what you don't know, right? If you think back to when Mike started, or Mike, when you did, who was in your store cheerleading you being able to do this until they saw a result and it created buy-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on your side.
Right.
I think it's extremely important. But I think it would be selfish or ignorant of us not to recognize that people fear the unknown until they know it, once
sure.
that buy-in is created. Patrick, same thing with you, right? Because I remember when we first started
Absolutely.
Talking about it, and you were like, I'm not a big fan of them being out there doing that. And then you were like, oh, shit, wait, this is what it does? So
yep. No, absolutely. You have to see the buy-in. It has to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the fear of unknown is what makes all the bad choices we make as dealers.
Yeah, let's bring Jason Gardner into the conversation.
I don't think he's on.
Oh, he's not on right now. Okay, well, let's go to Mark Stringfellow. Is Mark
he's
on? And Mark's not on either. Okay.
Mark
that
had to jump
perfect.
Off. He's trying to get
okay.
back on.
Well, let's go to Bobby again because this is a question.
Two.
Yeah, this is a question for Bobby because we've been talking.
Bobby, you're third. It was a question for Jason, then Mark.
Right.
Now is it? Cribs spun that pretty well. This
no,
is a question
not.
For Bobby.
This was actually a question that I formulated specifically for Bobby Heron. So here's the thing. You know, we've been talking a lot about salespeople branding themselves and how that affects the dealer and whether a dealer should maybe put more stock in a person that has that type of influence and following. But arguably, on the vendor side, because we have so many vendors tuning in to the show as well, and obviously as guests as well, vendor experts. And on the vendor side, I'm guessing that would be a huge thing as well, because now you have the potential to add someone to your organization that has a presence within the automotive industry. And assuming they have a presence and an influence in this industry, I would imagine it would be easier to connect with dealers. Bobby, speak on that.
Oh, yeah. you know, I got to tell you, you don't see a lot of advertising for my company because the majority of what I do is word of mouth. And over 90% easily of my business comes from referrals from vendor partners who I trust with their clients and who trust me with theirs. So playing well in the sandbox and having that kind of influence is massive. The other part of it is I want to hire people on my team that don't look like me. I want people who have a skill set that does not match mine, that is strong. I want people who are willing to raise their hand and be vulnerable and ask for help. And I can see that more than I can see on paper when I can see your social presence. I can tell exactly who you are. And it starts a different kind of conversation. I think it's important on both sides to let people know who you are as both a person and a business, right? My brand came from, I didn't start my brand. Everybody did it for me because I just showcased who I actually am. And people go, oh, she's kind of edgy. She's going to hold us accountable. I want to work with her. You wouldn't know that about me if I was just calling it up with a pitch. So I think it's extremely important.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Stuff. Thank you. So we're going to give away a couple more things just because we're giving away so much. And also,
let's give away like four things so we can get
in the
some
essence
out of the way.
Of time. Yes. So
give it away.
Let's give away another. Let's give away another original gangster poster here, signed, original autographed. Gangster. Original gangster. Old guys. Also, it stands for old guys.
Speaking of old guys, the way you said that.
Old guys is probably more accurate.
Right, he's right. Like, let's give away an original. Let's give away
the original.
Original. Yeah. I'm just not cool
OG. OOG. Original
not,
old guys.
Right. Original old guys. I'm just not cool anymore. Okay. Here we go. Winner is PJ Quinn. PJ Quinn, hey, you just won yourself a nice poster. And we'll be getting that to you.
So my boy.
And
see them sandals.
All right.
We should have Chris put, you know, show us the OG sandals.
Yeah, I'm not showing my sandals. Sorry.
Your boy's in a bathing suit.
So
guy looking
he
like,
is. He's in a
I'm shooting
like
from the waist
SpongeBob
up right
square
now.
Pants over there.
Okay. So next winner of another poster. I think this is the last one to give away. Sandra Delolio. Sandra Delolio.
Dude, no one's like John Smith or like Sam Jones. It's always like
it's
names.
It's always a difficult name.
What'd you give away just now?
Another poster.
Okay. All right. Let's give away. One of Lisa's hats.
Oh yes, one of Lisa's hats. From Lisa Copeland, former number one Fiat dealer in the country, now CEO of Cars Her Way. And by the way, Cars Her Way just hit iHeart Radio. So make sure you check that out. But we're giving away a hat, and we'll draw that out. And it is. Oh, appropriate. Karen Ann, Cars Her Way.
Karen Ann. Karen. Two first names, Karen Ann.
Right.
All right. So let's go to Mike Carrere again. Mike, we're talking about this, and I don't want to kind of beat a dead horse because I think we've kind of circled around the wagon a little bit. But,
you can drive it up.
So regardless of, Mike, whether it's right or wrong, it's happening, right? Somebody said a minute ago a comment on Facebook that I thought was intriguing because my daughter's a hairstylist. They said, kind of car salesmen are similar to hairstylists. There's a fear of maybe that they leave and take their customer base with them. And so that is a reality. And, I agree with what Patrick said. We do focus sometimes on the negative, and I don't think anything fear-based is the way to grow anything. But how do we change that narrative? How do we get what does the dealer and the salesperson need to do combined to come together to make it effective? Because it's win-win if it happens right. So, Mike, I'll go to you on that.
You're exactly right. I actually had an experience where I left a dealership because I was in the service drive with a salesperson and we were filming a video for one of his customers. And the GM of the store came over, interrupted everything, told the salesperson to go grab an up, pulled me into his office and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm trying to help this guy build his customer base and send out videos like I do. He wanted to do like I was doing. So I'm just trying to help him out." He said, "No, you're already online. I can't control that. That's fine. But you're not going to have all my salespeople doing the same thing. Because what happens when they leave and they take all their customers and go to the next dealership?" And I said, "Well, why focus on that? Let's make this place a place that everybody wants to work at, that they get up in the morning excited to go be at, and they work hard to promote in their circles, because you're going to be the one to benefit." And we couldn't see eye to eye. So I ended up leaving that store, and quite a few of the salespeople followed me to the next agency where the GM kind of got it. But it took a continual reinforcement of me going in and telling him, "Hey, this is what the salespeople are doing online. Let me show you a couple of videos that they've posted. Let's look at some of the stuff that they've shown on Facebook so you have a comfort level on it." We actually had to create him a Facebook account so he could get online. And that story isn't unique. There are a lot of dealerships
with GMs and sales managers that aren't active online. So it's foreign to them. And what you don't understand, you tend to fear. And if you fear it, you're going to tend to find problems with it and restrict it. And we just got to overcome that. And it takes a few steps. You know, a salesperson that's online needs to go to a sales manager and go, hey, you know, I finished up with my follow up. I'm going to go out and do a little walk around video so I can send to a customer. I'll bring it back and show it to you. And if you get them excited about it, then they allow you to do more. And every time they allow you to do more, you bring them in on it. Keep them in the loop. Keep them informed of what's going on. And then when those customers come in, after the deal, you make sure you go back and tell them, hey, boss, remember that guy I was telling you about I sent the video to? He just came in. That was the one that bought the vehicle from us. Or even if he couldn't come to terms, it resulted in a customer coming into the dealership. Show them the comments. Show the shares. Get them to understand what you're doing, and you'll get more permissions and more allowance to do more.
It's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's huge. You know, it's so funny how, you know, if you take that old mindset, you know, of a sales manager that would look at the salespeople and say, hey, go make a bunch of calls, right? Well, how many calls do you want me to make? How many people do you want me to reach? Well, as many as you can, right? Well, now we have the opportunity to do that in a split second and reach 5,000 people, 10,000 people. So it's crazy to think that would be a negative as long as we're, you know, consistent in our messaging and branding along with what the dealership message is as well.
You know, it's funny you said that because the whole time I've been sitting here thinking 20 years ago, I can remember distinctly sitting in the bullpen and having sales management come in when I first got started saying, go grab an up or go do something proactive. If you're not waiting for an up, either get on the phone or go to the mall and go grab a customer. You know, in today's age, the social media is that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's ironic that now we're kind of going further back and penalizing some salespeople who are being proactive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the good news is we're getting beyond that. So we're going to give away a couple more items real quick. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up. That's right.
But with all the
we're done.
With all the closing remarks, it's going to take a few minutes, and we'll give away the rest of the gifts after.
Okay, let's do that. So let's go to Sean Hayes. Sean, it's been a few minutes since you've been in the conversation. I'm going to give you an open floor here along with the other guests to do just maybe 60 seconds, 2 minutes of closing comments, and then, of course, your contact information if you want to share it.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on again, guys, and congratulations on your 7 years. But the car business is changing, and that's what I'd like to tell pretty much anybody that's listening. I think everybody is seeing it change. From salespeople to progressive GMs like Brad Wise and many other people out there. I mean, the landscape is changing. How we get our customers is changing. How we can service our customers is changing. You know, we have to change our old ways and our old mindsets and just be more accepting and understanding and listen to new ideas, because it costs you $600 to go run an ad and get somebody in here, but I can do it for free, you know, and that's the way I sold my old GMs, and they were down with it. But I just want everybody to understand, we'd have to have forward thinking. We got to evolve. We got to change. And it's changing right now. And I'm excited for it because I've never seen the car business more exciting than right now.
Thank you, Sean. And you're obviously a big part of that, man, leading a great movement. And thank you for everything you do. And we'll go to Brad Wise, and I know Brad and Patrick were call-ins. I appreciate you guys hanging on the whole show. Just you just added such value to the panel. But Brad, you know, give you some closing remarks. You know, from an executive GM's position, somebody who's lighting it up. I think that you're doing it right, and so our listeners would benefit greatly from your closing remarks.
You know, today is a perfect example. I don't know how many general managers or sales managers are listening today, but we were having a meeting about a new facility we're building, and we were talking about the desks and the storage for the salespeople and lockers and phones and things like that, and we didn't bring any of the salespeople in on this conversation, and it just went into my head that we should. So I brought three or four salespeople to look at the drawings and ask them, you know, how would this work, because this is a huge move your cheese kind of moment. And I thought to me, you know, that is the right thing to do. I mean, bring them in on decisions, because they, you know, years ago when you just think you can make all the decisions for salespeople because they're just not qualified to enter into that conversation is just crazy. And I was thinking about that today when I brought them in there to look at the stuff. They're actually part of the
the planning of the new facility, because they're the ones, obviously, that without them, without their success and without their contribution to the team, we wouldn't need that facility. So I guess what I'm saying is that they're a valued part of the organization, and it's high time that every organization kind of figure that part out. Mm-hmm. As far as, salespeople wanting to get their store to be more supportive about this or that or any problem, it's the person that's most passionate about solving the problem that's going to win. Mm-hmm. And somebody mentioned earlier about educating their dealer about the benefits of social media posting, and then also, the politicking and the promoting of showing them that we sold somebody off of that. That's what the dealer needs to hear. They need to see the success stories, and they're not dumb people. They didn't get to the position that they are by being ignorant. So, the more success stories they hear, the odds of doing more as far as the salesperson agenda goes increases.
That's good. Thank you, Brad. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Patrick O'Brien. Patrick?
At the end of the day, you have to look at the fact that social media is a part of our business now. We should embrace every single person at the dealership that wants to help us generate business and keep them long-term, right? You can do it from your sales department, your service department, your parts department, if you wholesale parts. So there's a lot of dynamics that you can use to generate, revenue for the store, but we have to embrace the people that are actually willing to do it while we're still adapting and changing and figuring out if it's something for us. We should still embrace those people that are actually just doing it on their own. I think social media and personal branding, Sean Hayes is another really good example of it. It's what's taking over, creating salespeople that went from 30 car guys to 50 car guys. That's how you do it. And as a salesperson, you should always think, like, do I really want to rely on the dealership or the opportunities that come through the internet department, or do I want to source my own? Because then I'm in control of every single step from start to finish. Handshake to taillights.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
So, Bobby, can you give us your closing remarks?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I feel like I got to say a lot during the show, so I'll tell all the listeners this. If you want to have an awesome private conversation with me or one on social, hit me up. You know my number. But I do want to take just a quick minute for the audience to say Jennifer Briggs, Elise Kephart, and myself, I think we announced it on the show last week, are hosting a badass BBC training event. I popped the link in there for you guys, thebeesnewsagency.com. Hit it, look at it. You have to apply. You can't just register for our shit. We don't roll like that. So check it out.
It's legit.
And anybody wants to talk about anything automotive, never be afraid to hit me up. I'm in Vegas this week, and I get back to the office tomorrow. So I appreciate your time and that you shared it with me. And as always, you guys are phenomenal, and I love you.
Thanks for coming on, Bobby.
Love you, Bobby. Thank you.
Yeah, and Mike, why don't you give us your closing remarks? And thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. I've been a fan for many, many years. I used to watch you from the sales desk. And I think right now it's an extremely exciting time to be in car sales, because when I was first starting out 30 years ago, I had to go to Barnes & Noble and buy books. And I spent a lot of money buying books and listening to audio tapes and all that kind of stuff. And now I tell salespeople that you've got a wealth of great information for free at your fingertips. Jump online, go to YouTube, search walk-around videos, search anything related to car sales, and you'll find people out there that are doing it, and they're rocking it. There's guys that you can see their videos and see what they're doing, and they're not all professionally put together. A lot of times you'll see people hiccup and say, and ah, but the key is they're doing it and they're getting views and they're selling cars. And there's so much there that you can follow in the footsteps of people that are doing it really well already. So it cuts down that learning curve. So it doesn't take you 3 years to get up to speed. You can get up to speed selling 30 plus cars a month in a very, very short time. Just follow the people that are out there rocking it now. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Mike, for your constant support, man. Great panel, guys. Thank you so much for all of you who spent time with us today. And look forward to talking to you guys again. Have a great, great weekend. Great, great panel. So,
bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All three up on screen, guys. So we're going to stay on screen together here for just a minute as we give away the rest of these prizes. I think, let's see here, we got four, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine gifts. We got two shirts, four posters, two of Jeff's books and then one of the subscriptions to his training. So what do you want to give away first? Let's give away – what if we give away one of his books, man? Let's give away this one right here. We're going to give away how write service and write your own paycheck. So, Dave Cribbs, you got the bowl over there?
I got it, sir.
All right, man. So the winner of this book, boom, 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 from Jeff Cowan is?
Sandy Zanino.
Sandy Zanino. Come on, Sandy. Sandy Zanino. Come on, let's give away his other book there. So what's the book over there you have?
I've got What I've Learned from Attending Over 35 Indy 500s. If you know anything about the Indy 500, you know it's the echelon of racing. So you can imagine the lessons that have come over 35 years of that. So giving away this book, it's also signed by Jeff Cowan. And let's give it away.
Give it away.
I can tell you what I learned from going to a couple of them.
Don't sit too close to the wall.
Hashtag never again.
That's encouraging.
Oh, how about it? Bobby, if you're still out there watching, Bobby Heron.
Oh, there
Bobby
you go.
Bobby Heron gets a book.
Indy 500.
All right, so Chris, Cribs, hold up a shirt here, Chris. Will you hold the shirt up on the front of your camera there, in front of your seat,
right
your screen?
In front of my face.
All right, so Cribs, you draw. Chris holds the shirt, and all I just sit here and smile when you announce the winner. The winner of the second, we're going to give away one after this, OGs of Automotive Podcast T-shirt, limited edition. We're getting all kinds of comments from people, by the way, saying how cool these shirts are. Who won?
Jared Spencer.
Jared Spencer. Come on, Jared. You get an OG shirt, man.
OG.
All right, so let's give away a poster. Let's give away two posters. Well, we got four. Let's just give away all four of them.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's do all four.
So next four winners get this right here.
Thought we'd
signed OG's of Automotive Podcast poster. No, we gave away three already?
Four more. Okay.
So the winner of the first of four?
Patrick O'Brien.
Patrick O'Brien. Thanks for calling in, man. You get a poster. All right, so three more posters, Cribs.
Here we go. Eddie Stephan.
Eddie Stephan. Come on, Eddie.
Stephan,
I love me some Eddie, man. Good guy.
Poster.
All right,
and
two more. Nope, two more.
Oh, two more. Jameson Johnson.
Jameson Johnson.
JJ.
Come on down.
All right.
And one more poster.
And the winner is... Same name. Got in there twice.
Okay. So the winner of the last poster is...
Terrell Lake.
Come on now. All right, so let's do this. Let's quickly, we'll give away the T-shirt and a subscription, and then we'll wrap up.
All right. It's
been a great show, man.
It has been, man.
Show three in the books. Hey, show four and show five. You got two more shows in May, and you don't want to miss them. We've got, it's just going to get better and better. We got some surprise guests coming on the next two shows as we wrap up our seven-year anniversary. It's been such a great 7 years, man. Just incredible experience for me. I love each and every episode. So the winner of the OGs of Automotive Podcast T-shirt is
Willard Johnson.
Willard. All right.
What do we got left?
Subscription to Jeff Cowan's training.
Oh,
grand prize.
The grand prize.
Woo.
The enchilada.
Subscription to the entire training goes to Christopher Tyler Brown.
Come on, Christopher.
I don't remember that name before, so hey, good job.
Nice job.
So guys, as we wrap up here in the next few minutes, so Chris, man, you know, why don't you give us your closing remarks? You heard when it comes to branding, you know, you've heard all the comments, you've seen it. I mean, it's out there. Facebook's here to stay. Social media is here to stay for the good, the bad, the ugly. Just as much good that's out there. There's stuff that you wish you didn't see, or that I don't think it's effective, I should say. That may be offensive to the eyes, you know, anytime you have marketing. I mean, when you've done direct mail, you get a piece in the mailbox, something looks good, and then just when you think it looks good, you unveil, pull that, you know, thing out of the mailbox that looks like crap. You know, you got a commercial that looks bad. You know, it's on the same TV screen as the one that's produced, you know, with Hollywood quality. And then you've got a billboard that looks great. Then you got one that looks like crap. No matter what it is, you know, you've got it's subject to the content, right?
Mm-hmm. The whole time I was sitting there thinking, you know, there are still car dealerships today that don't feel comfortable with salespeople kind of going out on their own and pushing their own social media accounts. Mm-hmm. If you're at one of those car dealerships, I would say take the time to maybe lay out a game plan of what that looks like and then some guidelines.
Yeah.
Help your GMs out, because I don't think it's the fear of the unknown. I think it's they just don't simply understand. And so if you can lay out guidelines that would, you know, every salesperson would stick by specifically, things they can do and things they can't do mm-hmm. over social media, and then present it to your general manager or your sales managers and say, hey, look, this is what I think we should do in the store. They might be perceptive to it. They might open up to it. I think lots of times it's just simply they don't understand.
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I disagree on, all that makes sense, but the disagreement would be I think you don't ask for permission. Simple as that.
So you go rogue.
No, wait a minute. Did you hear what I said in the beginning? I said in the beginning.
So do you go rogue? Is what you're saying?
Well, here's what I would say. As long as you're moral, legal, ethical, and you're staying in the boundaries of the messaging of the dealer, if you're not disrupting the messaging of the dealer, then I say go. Don't wait. Don't ask for permission. Don't ask for guidelines. Just go and do it.
Is that a lack of respect though?
Absolutely not. Let me ask you this. If my boss, let's say my GM wants me to go out and prospect, and he says go out, walk into Starbucks, start talking to people about cars. Well, when I walk into Starbucks, do I have to wait and see what the guidelines are for my conversation with someone at Starbucks? You want me to reach people. That's what I'm doing.
But maybe I started this conversation by saying at a dealership where they mm-hmm. don't allow this. So that means there is a rule in place already. You're not supposed to do this. So then you're just saying, screw the rules. I'll go do what I want to do. Well, I tell you right now, if I'm in a store and I had a rule and the salespeople just said, I'm going to do what I want to do. Screw you. Mm. Guess what?
Go
work somewhere else.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Time out. Let me referee this for a second because, all right. So what I hear though is, and I'm a good pot stirrer, man. I'm a really good pot stirrer.
I'm good.
So basically what Cribs is saying is that Chris, you're wrong. I mean, that's kind of what he said. So, Chris,
what I'm saying is, Chris is going to get people fired.
In fairness.
But let me throw one thing out there real quick, because I was going to be funny. But let me throw something. Well, your Starbucks analogy, I don't think that what you should say when you get there, I don't think that you should have to ask permission. But maybe when you sit down with them to find out if you can go or say, I'm going to go in the first place, maybe that's the time to find the messaging that's appropriate. You know, I'm listening to Brad Wise, and I heard a guy. I know Brad. I know that he's an advocate. For branding and, for salesman branding. I mean, we know what he stands for.
Sure.
But I love his answer because he wasn't just like, oh, absolutely, they need to do it and dealers need to get over it. He recognized the fear and then why it existed. And at the same time, if I know him like I think I do, I think that there's a conversation and accountability that's going to take place. And, and there's going to be some guidelines.
I just feel like if you're competent enough to walk out on the lot and represent the dealer on the lot with a client, you're competent enough to do it on the camera, at Starbucks, anywhere.
I don't disagree with that if you're in a store that doesn't have any ground rules for this.
Right.
Like there's no one's ever talked about it.
If it's a Chris Fritcher.
And I didn't hear you preface that with that statement.
The owner of Chris Fritcher
Ford.
But
I would not be at a store like that.
You're Chris Fritcher Ford. You're the owner in GM or whatever, dealer principal of Chris Fritcher Ford. And you have Dave Cribs that works there. And he does that. I'm saying he does that. So then my question to you is, how are you going to handle that up front? Like what's your guidelines? Have that conversation. Just role play that really quick. Cribs, man, listen, I know you're a brander.
Wait a minute. I thought you said I own Chris.
You
Richard
own
Ford.
It. You own it. So you're talking to him now.
I'm your salesperson that's out there doing it.
Okay. Role play. Go ahead.
You're out there doing it already?
Yes. Go ahead.
And do I have –
whatever.
Okay
I don't know.
It?
Whatever you would do. Go.
Oh, how I would handle it is
– go ahead. Handle it. Like role play. Chris, okay. Cribs, you're out there. Go ahead. Like talk to him as if you
– Cribs, you're out there sharing things on social media and pushing your brand. I love it. But you know what? There's a couple things I want to make sure – that we keep in line with our branding, and then I would just kind of lay out exactly.
No, go ahead. No, lay it out. Like, tell
him. I don't know. The top
talk
of my head.
Talk to him. So I want him to talk back to you. Just one quick scenario so our listeners can – go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You're out there doing it, so, hey, there's a couple guidelines and da-da-da-da-da, and,
I really don't understand where this is going.
Maybe. All right, let me
so,
finish
So here's
it.
What I would say. Here's what
hey,
I would
so
say.
Hey, so there's a couple
the
guidelines, Cribs. There's a couple guidelines. And really, man, honestly, I see some of the things you post. But really, I want you to get with me. And, I want to make sure I approve the things you're going out there and doing. I don't want you just going rogue on me.
I can certainly appreciate that. And mm-hmm. with all due respect, uh-huh. I mean, I feel like my job is to capture as much attention as I can for this dealership. Ultimately, all roads lead back here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interfere or... be contradictory to any messaging you'd want to put out there. In fact, I want you to be proud of me and mm-hmm. who I bring in. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you hired me to sell, and part of that is getting the attention of the public. I want to get as many people here and as many opportunities as possible.
Yeah, and I want you to. Believe me, obviously, I own the dealership, and I want to get as many people as possible. So I'm on your side on that. But,
awesome.
I want to make sure that, the message is consistent and I approve it. I mean, obviously, I just want to make sure, man. I would be a fool to to not be a guardian of my stuff, you know.
I can totally
steward. I want to be a good steward.
I totally respect that.
Are you willing to share that with me?
Yeah. In fact, would it be okay if we right now establish some of those guidelines so I can keep moving forward?
Right now.
Perfect.
Hey guys, great show. That's what I was talking about. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to, you know, to put the bar so high that you couldn't be on the spot and reach it. You know what I'm saying? All right, guys.
Have
a great week. I got a demo at 4:30. That's what I'm going to get ready to go out and do. So,
come on.
Love you guys, man. See you next week, man. What a great show. Thank you so much to our incredible audience and our incredible guest and our incredible co-host.
See ya.
See ya.